is where I'm going to take you tonight. I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. You're thinking quick there, Brother Eddie. I'm telling you that for sure. And how great is our God. I have been blessed recently to just be reminded of the great work of God in the past with great Christians in our Bible. And it really, it's blessed my heart just beyond measure as I've gone back through there. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, thinking about Elijah. And boy, I tell you, Daniel has been a blessing to us here in our church for quite a while on Wednesday nights and in Sunday school as well. But in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter here, we're going to look at Elijah for a little bit. And it'd be so easy to just start a complete Bible study on each one of these Bible characters. But one thing to remember is exactly what James said in the last chapter of James. James said about Elijah, he was a man of like passions, such as we are, saying simply, hey, he was just a human being. He had doubts. He had failures. He had sins. He had problems. He had discouragements. He had depression. He blew it many a time like you blow it. And I want to say to all of our young people here tonight and every one of us here, all of these folks in the Bible, except for Jesus, were just failures and problems and misfits and did things they shouldn't do. But they had, hallelujah, they had the enlightenment, can I say, they had the faith to just look to God who took care of all of that. And that's the wonderful blessing. That's the reason Jesus came. And he came into this world to seek and to save sinners. And here is Elijah about 900 years before Jesus came. But yet, he's listening to what he knows of Jehovah God. Does he know everything about Jesus? No. He didn't. Did he know Jesus was coming? It's not revealed to us that he did, but he did believe what he did know. And one of the big problems today is people don't believe, they refuse the truth that they do know. The truth that's out there, the truth that we have, as Brother Josh was preaching this morning. Hey, it's all grace. It's all God. Believe what it's not what I can do. It's not my trying. It's my trusting. Because we serve a big God. I remember years ago in 1 Kings, I was reading about Elijah. And boy, the Holy Spirit really dug my heart out because I read something that Dr. A.B. Simpson, the beginner of the Alliance Church and the big university up there in New York. What is that? Kayak University? Is that it, Josh? But that may not be the name of it now, but the Alliance Church and Ministries. He began that. What a great preacher, late 1800s when he began it. And he was such an inspiration, a humble man from what I've read about him, humble man. D.L. Moody said there's nobody that moved his heart as much as A.B. Simpson. But A.B. Simpson said something that I've not forgotten, and my goodness, that's been a long time ago, a good 25 years ago. Here's what he said. He said, say it simply as this, men like Elijah, men like Elisha, folks like Abraham, they believed in a God that could do hard things. A God that could do hard things, impossible things. They believe that. But there's a pattern that God uses, because I'm going to talk to you about Elijah, but I'm going to talk to you about the widow woman as well. Because the widow woman believed in a God that could do hard things. She's not named for us, except that she was from Zarephath, but she believed in a God that could do hard things. So it shows you that the widow woman had a wonderful prayer relationship with God while Elijah is having a prayer relationship with God. And what the parallel is for today is they both were living in wicked, wicked, wicked days. Wicked days. And Ahab and Jezebel, wicked people. Man, the nation was wicked. Oh, it was prosperous.
It was prosperous, but it was wicked and evil and sin and anything you can imagine was going on. And the little widow woman here in 1 Kings 17, hey, she lived right in the hometown or the region where Jezebel was from. Now, you talk about a difficult place to be a believer, a difficult place to believe in a God that could do hard things. And the famine was on, and we'll read about her story in a minute, but I want to talk to you about her hiding and her closeness to God, and then we'll talk to you about Elijah's closeness to God and what we're to do in days like this. There's so many parallels for these days and our days. That spirit of Jezebel. Now, what is the spirit of Jezebel? Some of you may have heard that. Well, Jezebel, as you read 1 Kings, you'll find her there for sure. And she was a narcissist. She was anything she could do or be, she would. She was, in our day, the queen of porn for that day, because anything she could do, she would, anything that was possible. And she was so narcissistic. She was so full of herself. She was so full of a hunger for power. And Ahab was the king, but she was the queen. She was running things in those days. And that spirit, that demonic spirit of, many call it today, the spirit of Jezebel, it's a demon, it's demonic. And it's here in our land, big time. It's around us. It's over there. It's everywhere. And the demons don't change. They just change people. And people in different ages change. But demons are the same. They have the same actions, and they cause the same problems. And when you study them in the Scriptures, you begin to recognize them, realize them, and you understand how you can rebuke them in the name of Jesus through the power of the blood of Christ, through the power of the resurrection. Ask the Lord to bind them and rebuke them and cast them down and break that stronghold in that. So I want you to look with me now. Let me read some verses to you, 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Said it's not going to happen. God's sending a drought. He is sending a famine, and it's not going to happen. Now, I mean, this is Elijah's first mention in the Scripture. He just comes on the scene. I often wondered, man, how did he get an audience with the king so quick? Well, maybe it was his boldness. We need Elijahs today. We need widow women today like this gal. Both of them talking to the same God at the same time and the Lord answering in different ways. But yet, here comes old Elijah, and I see him somehow or other. He was able to get to the king, and he put his finger in the nose of the king and said, God said that there's not going to be rain on this earth until I say. No dew nor rain these years. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse number 2, Elijah, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Wow, think of that now. No other provision, but the ravens are going to feed you at the brook Cherith. So what does Elijah do? What we need to learn to do, as Debbie's saying, we have a great big God, but He's small enough to talk to you. He's small enough to provide for you. He's small enough to live in you. We serve this big God. So, what did Elijah do? He went, he did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, when you read more of the history of this, you'll find out that Ahab sent out search parties everywhere looking for him, because that man, just like he said, no rain, no dew. You talk about a dry time. And soon the water started drying up. Famine started coming because nothing could grow. And it got worse and worse and worse. The ravens, verse number 6, while Elijah's waiting by the brook Cherith, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. God took care of His servant. Remember, God is big enough. He is the big God. He's in control of everything, and He's taking care of this prophet. And He's hiding him there. God is hiding him there. You remember that. And He hides you. You say, boy, all these problems are hitting me, preacher. All these things are coming. He hides you. He hides me. Because the hiding is important. There'll never be a real showing of God in you until you have a hiding that is previous to that. Sometimes the hiding is difficult because a famine causes it. A problem causes it. And you're forced to hide. But then the showing comes, but you have to hide first. Because you need to know some things in the hiding before God can let you be shown. You have to be taught some things by the brook Cherith before he lets you go. And you read on, you'll find he goes to the king again after 3.5 years. And as James said, reminds us, he was a man of like passions as we are, yet he prayed fervently, it rained not on the earth. It didn't. And it came to pass, verse 7, came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So did one morning Elijah wake up and he says, man, there's not a bit of water in there. Did he not see the water gradually level, growing lower and lower? Well, of course he did. Did he not see that it was there was less and less to drink? Of course he did. I don't think it was like God when he stopped the waters of the Jordan. I don't think it was like God when he stopped the Red Sea and let the children of Israel pass over. I don't think that it was a rushing mountain stream and then the next morning it's dry. No, it's just like when drought comes here, when dry time comes here, you watch the water level go down and go down and go down. As you see it go down, you're thinking, I don't have any instructions yet, Lord. Yoo-hoo. Do you see this? He's big enough, but he's small enough. That came to pass after a while. Elijah took his last drink of water out of that. No doubt as he drank, tasted a little grit in his mouth from the sand that was in there now, he says, Lord, what do I do now? And I like verse 8. God's always on time. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is 100 miles. Now get this, 100 miles from Cherith. And as I said, it's where Jezebel's father ruled. So you talk about sending, all right, he's at a brook that's dried up. And God says, now, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath, 100 miles from where you are, and it belongs to Zidon. And Elijah's thinking, whoa, that's where Jezebel's from. Her daddy's the king there. And he says, you dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So guess what? While Elijah is hiding at the brook, or let's say it this way, God is hiding Elijah at the brook. He's got a widow woman there in the center of evil and wickedness where Jezebel's from and Jezebel's daddy rules. And you know nobody there is excited about Jehovah God except this widow woman. No one there. Matter of fact, our Lord uses this example here. When he in his public ministry, and he says to those Jewish leaders in our Lord's public ministry there, he says to them, don't you see how God, only the widow woman at Zarephath, only that widow woman did God send the relief to and send Elijah to, telling the religious crowd that was before him that, hey, God looks at these small insignificant. He doesn't look at your flowing robes and all of this pomp and circumstance and all this stuff that you have. He doesn't look at all of this. No. He looks at that little widow woman. He looks at Elijah, that old, loud voice, bold prophet with a leathern girdle. He wasn't dressed the finest. But the Lord said, I'm speaking to a widow woman here, and I'm speaking to a prophet of mine, and I'm going to put the two together. Arise, he said, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, Verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Already there had been a wonderful prayer time and conversation for this, I'm going to say a good at least half of these 3.5 years, maybe longer. Some, if you read some commentaries, some of them think it was probably at least 2 years that the drought had been. So another year and a half to go. It says, I've commanded a widow woman there to take care of you. So Elijah, he rose, he went to Zarephath, 100-mile journey. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. He called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So God made the meeting happen. When he got to the city, the widow woman was out there, and the Lord is close enough to talk to both of them. And as she was going to fetch it, get him a little drink of water, so there was still some water around a little bit, but it was precious. He called her and said, hey, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God, you see who she's talking to and who she knows and who she is trusting, the Lord Jehovah thy God liveth. As the Lord thy God liveth. I have no question about that. I don't have a cake. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm getting 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. That's all we got left that we may eat and die. We have just this little bit. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So, by her wonderful faith, she did. For thus saith, and he tells her the rest of it, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God's going to keep the meal barrel going. He's going to keep the oil well going. He's going to keep it. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. I love this. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now I want you to notice a couple of things here tonight. Number one, notice this widow's prayer life. We're going to go back and look at Elijah and look at something she did too. In her prayer life, she understands God has sustained her up to this point. And there hasn't been an overflow, but she hasn't stopped eating, nor has her son, nor is she destitute like others. I feel sure there were those around her that she had helped all that she was able to help, and some of them, she had watched them leave and die because of the famine. But notice in her secret time with the Lord, she hid, and then the Lord showed her something. Now it's important you understand this. I said both Elijah and the widow woman had a hiding and then a showing. She hid and got in the prayer closet with God. And God says, now here's what I am going to do, and tells Elijah, I've already been talking to a widow woman there. I've already commanded her what to do. She knows you're coming. She's expecting you. So she had hid herself in that prayer closet because she lived in this middle of an idolatrous region, as I've said already. She was, I ought to say this, in her prayer closet, she met the same God that Elijah was talking to. The same God that was big enough to talk to Elijah, who had a nation coming to its knees, is the same God that was talking to the little widow woman hiding in her closet. I love that because he's no respecter of persons. If we have a president that prays, that same God would meet with him as much as he would to the least and the lowest in this nation or whomever that has the least amount, that has the lowest standing socially. God is not a respecter of persons. He's God. There's none above him. He's the Most High God. He's the everlasting God. He's the Almighty God. There's none above him. There's nobody that can ever rule above him. And so he can go where he pleases and meets with who he pleases, and it's just pleased him through Jesus to come down here to where we are and to offer himself so that all humanity could be saved. Hallelujah. But she hid herself in that prayer closet in this nation, and the Lord met with her right there. I'm going to imagine something here, because I know in my own prayer life, there are times that I pray, and I know my Lord hears my prayer. The ears of the Lord are open to the call of the righteous and the prayer of the righteous. He hears your prayers. Holy Spirit's in us, so the Holy Spirit prays for us and through us. But there's times also that I absolutely know that I've been able and enabled by the Holy Spirit, and I know God has heard me, and He's listening to me. There's times I could say it this way, that I'm not alone in the prayer closet, and I like that. Someone else was in there. When she went into her hiding place, there was someone else in the hiding place. Let you in on something else. This little widow woman, I don't see that her son went in the closet with her. She's trying to figure out, how do I take care of my boy? What am I going to do? How am I going to supply for him? And that's the first thing on her mind when Elijah says, hey, sister, go fix me a cake first, will you? Throw some sardine oil in there and a few sardines on top, if you got it, and bring it to me. And she says, I've just got enough for my son and me. That's all I have. That's in her mind. Her son wasn't in there. Now, why not? Here's the why. Because as we as adults, as we as leaders, we often don't want to discourage some. We want them to think now, and we encourage them ourselves. Now, God's got this. God's going to do this. He's going to. I can see her tell her son, now, honey, don't you worry. Don't you worry, honey. By the way, this will be an interesting little fact. I was reading some Jewish history one time, and Jewish tradition says Jonah was this son. Now, that makes a little more interesting story here. But I could believe that. I could believe that in this situation. But regardless of whether that Jewish tradition is correct or not, she was hiding in the closet talking to her Lord how she can take care of her son and what she can do there. And while she's talking, praying to God, the Lord shows up in that closet. So the same God that's talking to Elijah is the same God that's in the closet. And by the way, he's the same one that's in the meal barrel. When she reaches in her hand with her scoop and she gets down and she's looking in the barrel, there's another hand from the other end of the barrel that's going. And she reaches in and says, wow, same thing that was there. But there's another hand in the barrel, just like there was somebody else in the closet where she was hiding. And it was in her hiding, in the closet, that God commanded her and showed her His will. And then there was the showing. Old Elijah shows up. But while the Lord's commanded her and showed her His will, he's gone to Elijah over here at the brook, and he says, Elijah, now here's what you do, boy. I want you to see the brook's dried up. And by the way, you say, why did the Lord let the brook dry? Why didn't he just tell Elijah, brook is getting lower, but you go ahead and go on. Because I know us preachers, we like laying by the brook and somebody feeding us. Man, that's good, And besides, that's a sure thing. And as sure as anything else, he's got to where he's expecting them to come. But the Lord allowed things to change. And Elijah's faith was tested. And God had already told him, I'm going to take care of you. So here's where you're going next. Now, remember this. God didn't tell him the whole plan to start with. No. The widow woman didn't know the whole thing. She was just hiding in prayer, and then the Lord started commanding her, and he showed up in her closet, and as she prayed, he told her and said, here's my will. And then here comes Elijah. So she goes out, normal thing, going to gather sticks, to dress the food. I'm not sure how that worked, that process was, but she needed them. And while she's out there, God brings the two together. So we've just read that story. Now, let me show you something. You need to get this. Listen real close. Some lessons to learn from this. We've learned a lot already, but what do we do when it seems like you have just enough? What do we do when it seems like we're in a situation where the widow woman is, Elijah has the brooks dried up, he has no choice. So he goes where God tells him to go. And that's what we have to do. We have to follow God. Number one is in our hiding, we're following God. We're listening to him. He's got us there. He says, I've got to teach you this. You got to understand this. And by the way, doesn't matter how old you get, how old you are, God has this same process. He has a fellow named Elijah that may be, don't know exactly how old he is here. We would say maybe the prime of life, about like me, 67, something like that. Anyway, he's in this age that, you know, he's feeling fine. The widow woman, we don't know a lot about her. She's probably a little younger because she's got a young son there at home. So, and the son's involved and the widow's involved and Elijah's involved. So here's all three, different ages, different stages, different places, but the God that's big enough to speak to each one of them, small enough to deal with them in this situation. So that 900, actually close to 1,000 years later, James talks about him. Isn't that amazing? And Elijah's mentioned in the New Testament over and over, Moses and Elijah appearing there on the Mount of Transfiguration. You see this. Now, here's what we do. Right? You can write these things down or remember them. What do? We find ourselves in these situations, difficult times, difficult nation to be in, a particularly trying time to be a believer. Not everybody's happy that Jehovah God's your God because they're wondering why he shut up the heavens. Not everybody's happy because you're the one that says, hey, this is coming. Not everybody loves the church today. First time that I know of in America, first time that I know of in the history of America where the church is as hated as it is today. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. We've seen it coming, but that's where we are. Elijah's in that same boat. And the widow woman, being a believer, right in the middle of Jezebel's hometown, she is not well thought of for being the believer in that place, being the Christian, we would say, in that place. Here's what we do. Number one, we keep working. We keep doing what we know to do. We keep doing what we know to do. I like the fact that she didn't lay down and die. I like that in Elijah. Neither one of them just said, okay, God. I'll just die like the rest, and I'm through. I'm just going to fold my hands and lay down and wait till death grips me. No. You see, work, we don't think of it this way, but it's true. If you got faith, you work. If you don't have faith, you won't work. They were working because they had faith. They kept doing what they knew to do. I've often been asked by pastor or by ministers come to ask advice from me of, preacher, I don't know what to do right now. I'm between places, ministry. I don't know what the Lord's telling me at this time. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? Number one, you keep doing what you know to do. And that's what these two did. They kept praying, they kept hiding, and God is speaking, and God is showing them, and God is talking. And the second thing is you obey what he tells you to do. So you keep working, because work is the evidence that you have faith. You keep laboring. Something else, too. You keep loving. I stress that, because many times I've seen folks, because of the situation, get hard-headed and hard-hearted. They don't keep a tender spirit. If you don't have a tender and compassionate spirit, you won't hear God. You won't hear him because you're all wrapped up in self. You keep laboring. You keep working. You keep loving. You have to do, it's hard to do when you don't have nothing yourself. Can't you imagine in this widow woman's mind as she was being tried and being tested here, as that was happening, and here comes a preacher and says, hey, sis. She says, I just got enough for one more meal. How? Bake me one first. Bake me one first. and then you'll have enough. Because God's done told me he's going to supply for you. Now, and her mind is, well, God told me that you was coming, and God told you the rest of the story. So he told me you was coming, so I'll do it. I'll do it. But a lot of times, we shut up our compassion, our love. In these situations, we become hard. Don't let the devil do that to you. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Number three, you keep looking. You keep working, nurturing this faith in God. You keep moving. You keep going to believe the little as much when God is in it. And she believed that. He could have, if God wanted to, he's God. He could have filled her meal barrel. She could have went back from the gate of the city where she'd gathered the two sticks. She could have went back from the gate of the city and those two sticks and opened a meal barrel and it could have been running over. And she'd have went, whoopee, yee-haw, hallelujah. Wow, boy, God, that's good. But she opens the meal barrel and there's the same thing that was in there when she was out gathering sticks. Now her faith is tested again. Lord, I had... Hey, and she looks back at that hungry preacher, and she looks up, and okay. She puts her hand in the meal barrel, and she don't know that God's hand's in the bottom of it, and he's reaching up and putting it in her measuring cup, and she brings it up. Well, I'll be. Let's get some more. Well, I'll be. She doesn't realize that, but God is teaching here that he is the source. Our problem, and it may be the reason America's in the shape that it's in, we've forgotten that God is our source. We've forgotten that. In the church, we've forgotten God is our source. We have to have everything else. We have to have all of, you know, we have to have all of the bells and the whistles and the entertainment and everything else. And we've forgotten that a holy God has to step inside the sanctuary and move in power and move in hearts and move on us. We've forgotten that God is our source and it's not the government and everything else. You see, she had to learn that God was her supplier. Elijah was learning the same thing. You see, in our lives today, America's been blessed like no other nation. Certainly has. And we're watching our nation in a spiritual decline tremendously. We have sufficient supplies, we think, sometimes, and many times we don't, and we look more to the source. My prayer is going to be, God, from this message right here, what I see right here is that I'm looking to the source. Elijah had to look to the source because God was supplying the water. Nobody controls the stream. God supplies the ravens. I mean, you don't command a raven to go and get the food and bring it to you. The little widow woman, yes, she had no doubt gathered the meal that was in the barrel and she had worked for that and winnowed the wheat and all of that perhaps. But yet it was getting less and less and there was no wheat to winnow. There was no wheat to bring in. And so she's in some ways been looking to the meal, and now she's been focused on the source. So we keep laboring and working because that's a sign of our faith. Secondly, we keep loving, I said. Thirdly, we keep looking, nurturing a faith in God, knowing God has got it. God has got it. God has got it. That next thing is this. You keep a surrendered life to God. It's so hard to tighten your grip on things when times are strenuous. I'm not going to let go of that. But if you don't, you lose the source because you get more enamored with what you have than the one that's give you what you have. So you have to let go. You have to be at that place where you're willing to surrender. Surrender. She had to be there. And Elijah too. I mean, hey, I really am very impressed with the widow woman. Because Elijah just has Elijah. She's got herself and her son. And a good mama, she's more concerned about her son, her baby, than herself. And so she's got, in my opinion, she's got more to let go than Elijah did. Because Elijah's by himself by the brook. He looks for the ravens in the morning and he drinks from the water, and that's gone on for a while, maybe 18 months or 2 years. Now God says, go over here, there's a widow woman. Now he's tried because he's thinking, that's not where I would normally go, Lord. I mean, Kentucky Fried Chicken's right down the road from her. Maybe you ought to send me there. And he says, no, because you're instrumental for her. She needs what you got, and you need what she's got. What if neither one of them let go? What if neither one of them had a surrendered life, or either of the one? Well, let's suppose that for a minute. What if Elijah said, Lord, I appreciate the brook here. I know it's dry, but I think, God, I can figure this thing out. I think what I'll do, Lord, is I know somebody, you know, I got a cousin, lives a few miles over there. I think I know where I can go. And God says, no, you're going here. What if the little widow woman, on the other hand, says, Lord, I know what you've told me in here, but I can't take another mouth to feed. I mean, my goodness. And an adult at that, and a hungry Baptist preacher at that, Lord, I can't take another mouth to feed. This is not helping me. It looks like it's going to hurt me. And God says, do it, do it, do it. So they both had to have a surrendered life. So number one, keep this in mind. Four things. Labor, you keep working. You keep doing what you know to do when you don't know what to do. You do what you know to do, which is prayer and the Word of God and faith in God. Number two, you keep loving people. Don't you get hard-headed and hard-hearted. Don't you get callous and you have no compassion. Don't you do it. Don't you get mad at God. Third thing is you keep looking or nurturing that faith in God. You keep looking for the Lord to do it. You keep, when I say looking, I mean expecting. You keep expecting God to do it. You keep looking for God to do it. And then you let go. You don't grasp. You just stay surrendered to the Lord so that whenever He speaks, whatever He talks to you, and He tells you, you're ready to do it. So the little widow woman had her hiding, and then she had her showing when Elijah shows up. And then Elijah had his showing. By the way, you read on, the widow woman's son passes on and Elijah raises him from the dead. Boy, didn't she need Elijah? Didn't Elijah need her? Yeah. And if Jonah is that boy, God was doing a work in Jonah's heart. Or whoever he is, he was doing a work in that son's life. Then in chapter 18... our second hour of message tonight's in chapter 18. I know that'd please you. But chapter 18, Elijah has his showing. God prepares him with everything to go see the king, stick his finger in the nose of the king, because old King Ahab says, hey, are you the one that's troubling Israel? 1 Kings 18:17. Are you the one causing all this trouble, Elijah? And Elijah says, I'm not the one, you heathen, you're the one that's causing all the trouble. Your sins, your father's house, you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Thou hast followed Balaam. Boy, I'm telling you. Where did Elijah get this boldness? Where did he get the plan of God to do the contest on Mount Carmel? Where did he get that plan? While he was hiding at the brook Cherith, while he was talking to the widow woman and staying there, God prepared all that in the hiding place for the showing. And He does the same thing in my life and your life. So in these days, church, when the church, I mean the true church, Bible-believing people, and people who love Jesus, people who believe in Jesus, people that follow in God, born-again people of God, and we're a remnant now. We're not a majority. We're a small minority in America now. Because you have more that call themselves church and Christians You have more of them that deny Jesus and deny God and deny the miracles of the Bible. You have more of them who call themselves that than you do believers in America. And they're in positions of leadership. But that doesn't stop us. We're still hiding. The Lord's still showing. We're going to keep laboring and loving and expecting, looking and letting go. And God says, I will take care of the rest. What wonderful lessons. So that later on, both Elijah and the widow woman are talked about by the Lord Jesus, by James. I mean, man, what treasures they are to us in the New Testament. 1,000 years later, they're remembered. Anybody else in that village or in that area, Zarephath? Anybody else remembered there? No record. Anybody else that besides Elijah that's remembered here? Only Obadiah as a believer. Nobody else. That this shows you that our God, big God, small enough to take care of you and meet with you in your closet and tell you what to do, you and I be secretly, can I say, in this secret place, loving Him, adoring Him, listening to Him, following Him, keeping a tender spirit, expecting His answer, expecting it to happen. And He will do it. That's our God. He doesn't fail. We do at times, but He doesn't. Hallelujah. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for showing us these wonderful truths. Oh, how blessed we are. Lord, You're the same God. You're our Father. You are our Father in heaven. Brother Josh preached this morning, Father, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. Father, that's You. And blessed Jesus. And we're so blessed to have You in our lives. You live in us, Your sweet Holy Ghost. You left us the Holy Spirit. You left us the precious Word of God. You left us the blood of the cross, the work of the cross in each other, what the church is. You've left us the church. And we thank You for that. Now, Father, I pray You'll encourage Your people tonight. Encourage us. Perhaps our church, our entire church families, may be in a place of hiding right now. Maybe many of us, maybe all of us as a church organization are in a place of hiding because the showing is coming. And in the hiding, You're teaching us and training us and talking to us for the time, the big time, can I say, the big thing that's about to happen, that we can show the world that our God, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. Thank you. Tonight, all right, let's stand together. David has a song he wanted us to sing tonight. What page was that, David? 88, I believe it was. Yeah, I believe it's 88. Okay, here we go. You ready? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And don't forget that last verse. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Thank you.